One of the most special moments looking at that video for me was the time of intensive prayer, as you see the people crying out to God. They were crying out in response to the same theme I want to bring to you this morning. As I've gone before the Lord about this, I felt that this was appropriate as we come to the end of the year for us as individuals and for fire as a whole. And that morning when we brought that message, the response was very intense, or that afternoon, I should say. And I believe God will stir something similar in our hearts today. I want to read two passages. If you want to title it, Write Down the Vision. We go first to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, and then we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to give you the context and then take a passage and apply it to us today. Habakkuk was a contemporary of Jeremiah. Those that were in my Jeremiah class that we just finished recognized that this was a very dark part of Israel's history, of Judah's history. The people were worshiping idols. The people were guilty of all kinds of atrocities and injustice. Judgment was about to come. And in the first chapter of Habakkuk, the prophet cries out to God because there's so much wickedness in the land. How can this be? And God says, well, I'm sending an answer. I'm sending the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they're going to bring judgment. And when Habakkuk sees in prophetic vision who's coming and what they're going to do, it's as if the cure is worse than the disease. Okay, our people sinning, that was bad enough, but now you're bringing an idol-worshipping nation that's going to tear us to bits. So he has questions for the Lord. And the Lord speaks to him in Habakkuk chapter 2. The prophet says, I will stand on my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it, or better, so that he may run who reads it, or so one may read it and go and proclaim it. In other words, write it plainly and clearly so others can catch what's being said and proclaim it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up, his desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith, or faithfulness. A verse that, of course, is very famous, quoted in the New Testament in several places, that the righteous will live by faith. Write down the vision. Make it plain so he may run who reads it. And then 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Paul writes, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you might fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight. As you remember the prophetic words, the true prophetic words that were spoken over you, as you hold on to them, you can fight the good fight. There is a divine purpose and destiny for every one of us. There is a divine purpose and destiny for this community called Fire. There is a divine purpose and destiny for every individual created by God, in particular in Jesus. I would dare say, based on reading the Word and based on watching life these last decades, that many of us, and perhaps most of us, fall short of the divine potential, the divine calling, the divine promise, the divine purpose. Yesterday was a special day for me, December 17th of 1971, so 40 years ago yesterday, I surrendered to the Lord. For the 5 weeks previous to that, I had first believed that Jesus was real, that he had died for me and risen from the dead, but I wasn't willing to follow him or repent. And I had this battle, shooting heroin one day, going to church the next, being filled with sin one day, and then going to the service the next. And in the service 40 years ago, little Italian Pentecostal church, none of the music like we had here, none of the instruments, just one piano, none of the contemporary choruses that are so rich, that so many of us love, singing the old hymns. I got so completely overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord, this exquisite joy, that I realized at this point, this is something different. I mean, singing these little songs, whatever they were, Make Me a Blessing or Sunshine in My Soul Today. So overcome with joy. You ever have like a car accident and your life passes before you in slow motion? These things actually happen. In a moment of time, I thought of every joy-filled or happy-filled or good-feeling-filled experience I ever had, whether it was a drug high, a music high, a sports high, a friendship high, whatever it was. I thought of every different experience I had that was kind of at the pinnacle of that area. And I realized, this is different. This is of a completely different quality. This must be what they call the joy of the Lord. And at that moment, it was such a clear internal vision, such a clear picture in my mind. It had been as if I was out playing in the mud and was filthy head to toe. And I came in and I got all cleaned up and these beautiful white garments were put on me. And I went back to play in the mud. It was as clear as day to me. And I said, Lord, I'll never put a needle in my arm again. That was it. 40 years ago. Amazing. And for 40 years, every day of my life, I've received mercy and grace from God. I can look at my own life now after 40 years of following him. I can see many other lives, people that I knew were called, people I knew had a rich destiny in God who died out of the will of God or who fell way short of their calling. I see so many things in Scripture exhorting us to live up to the potential we have in God. And I want to give you a key, a fundamental scriptural key to help you live out what God has called you to do. Live out who God has called you to be. This is not about fulfilling our destiny. It's about fulfilling God's calling, living up to the vision he has. And as we do that, we discover that is our destiny. That's what he made us for. That's what he brought us into this world for. Like the famous line from Chariots of Fire with Eric Liddell, who goes on to be an Olympian and then dies on the mission field years later. His famous line to a close friend or relative explaining why he was running, why he was in the Olympics, and then he was going to go to the mission field. He said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. As we were exhorted earlier in the service, when we surrender to the Lord, when we turn from sin, that's not bondage, that's freedom. God has a purpose for you. When God formed you, when God shaped you, when he made you in your mother's womb, he had a purpose and plan. When Jesus saved you and called you to himself, he had a purpose and plan. And it may not be big in the eyes of man, but every one of us has something very special and particular that God has given us to do. And in many of our lives, he's spoken to us about it. Sometimes he's spoken to us at the very core of our being. Sometimes he's spoken to us prophetically, and it's been the same thing, almost like a broken record from this one and this one and this one. God tells Habakkuk, and I want to make application from the text, write down the vision. Write down the vision, because if it's from God, it will be tested. If it's really from God, it will be challenged. If it's really from the Lord, it will not come to pass as easily and quickly as we might expect. If it's really from the Lord, we may well go through periods and seasons where we conclude it can't possibly happen, or we must have misheard. Or we might become convinced that it was once God's plan, but we have since disqualified ourselves or missed the opportunity. As the godly German Christian leader Basilius Schlink once said, the greater God's purposes for your life, the longer they'll take to be fulfilled. Write it down. What is it that God has spoken to you most intimately when you're in his presence? What is it that when you're really experiencing him and have a burden to make your life count, that burns in you? What is it that if God's shooting you forth as an arrow that he has made you for? I understand there are seasons. There are seasons of raising little children. There are seasons of getting businesses established. There are seasons of growing in character. We are all going through seasons, and yet there's someone we're going in God. It's not just all random. We are not the corporate blob of Christ where everything just kind of blends together. Write it down. If it's really from God, it will be tested. If it's really from God, it must be contended for. It will not simply happen automatically. It will not simply happen like ripe fruit falling from a tree. Look, Jesus taught us to pray. And some would argue on a daily basis or even more often. Pray what's called the Lord's Prayer. And what are we doing? Here, think of this. Do we know ultimately that God's name will be hallowed in the entire earth? Do we know that ultimately at the end his name will be revered? Of course we do. Hallowed be your name. Do we know that ultimately his kingdom will come and ultimately his will be done on the earth as it is in heaven? Of course we do. And yet he tells us to pray because we're co-workers. As we pray, things can be hastened. As we pray, things can unfold with greater power. 2 Peter, the third chapter, asks what kind of lives should we live? And it talks about living holy, godly lives as we look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. It can be hastened. In Isaiah, the 60th chapter, God speaks to his people and says, I am the Lord. I will hasten it in its time. Things can be pushed forward, accelerated. God spoke through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 25 that the exile would last 70 years. The question is, what was the starting point? Did the starting point come when the temple was destroyed in 586 BC? So 70 years from that gets us to 516. Or did it start a few years earlier when others were taken into captivity, or some years before that when the first wave of captives was taken? Well, Daniel was among the first wave. Daniel was among the first ones to go into exile. And in Daniel 9, he prays. He's studying the books. He sees the prophecy about 70 years. So he prays, it's time, Lord. Well, that was his time based on him being in exile. When you look at it, the whole captivity lasts more like 50 years rather than 70. But for Daniel, it was 70. You can pray and you can take hold of things that might happen more slowly or might happen more quickly. God is working together with us. Doesn't it say in James, Jacob, the fourth chapter, that we don't have because we don't ask? And then as he's rebuking them there, that when they do ask, they're asking for themselves to consume things on their own lust. But there's a principle. We don't have because we don't ask. What is it that God has called you to? Why did he put you in this world? Why has he raised up fire? What is the unique role we have been given to do corporately and individually? When the Lord spoke to me a couple years back, just praying as we were going through another challenging time financially with our school of ministry, with our leadership institute, and saying, Lord, I don't want to just continue this because we've been doing it. We believe it's important. And the Lord spoke to me, fire, I have need of you. And suddenly it was as if I saw all the fire workers, the fire missionaries, the fire servants and leaders all around America and all around the world, not there. And all these lights, all these candles were going out here and here and here and here. And I realized the job that God had given us to do. the role that we have to play. But I don't want to speak so much corporately as individually. Write down the vision. When we're really with the Lord, when we're really in His presence, maybe in worship, maybe in private meditation, private prayer, maybe in a service where the Holy Spirit's really moving or where there's some supernatural flow, God will normally speak things to us that sound impossible and outrageous. May I say to you plainly that God's prophetic destiny and calling and unique purpose for your life is not that you survive into old age? Not the equivalent of when you're witnessing to a lost person and sharing the gospel, and they say, well, I haven't hurt anybody. Oh, wonderful. What a wonderful life you've lived. What an impact you've made. And that's our equivalent. I'm going to survive. The Lord told me His purpose for me is that I won't backslide. Come on. When we're really with the Lord, the things He puts in our heart are contrary to reason or above reason or beyond reason, because we're talking about God. When He speaks things to us prophetically, they'll be challenged because sometimes you think you're crazy. I mean, you look in the Word, when people hear from the Lord, we read about it, it's already happened. But when we read the things, when these people first heard them, they were incredulous. And when Abraham gets his promise, when he's still Abram, that through his seed, through his offspring, the entire world will be blessed. Remember, he's 75 and he and his wife can't have kids. And before the promise is fulfilled in terms of the initial birth of Isaac, it's another 25 years that go by to the point that there's absolutely no possible hope anymore. Can't happen. But God spoke it. Write it down. I went through my journal some years ago. I've journaled daily for many years now. I don't know, 15, 17 years, something like that. And for a good part of that, well, actually, no, much, much longer, just in terms of writing things down in a computer, 15, 17 years. So one year, I decided, at the end of the year, I just wanted to look up the word feelings, to see how I felt over the course of a year. I'm just curious to see where my feelings were and to see how fickle feelings can be. And of course, a lot of them, you know, feeling tired today, feeling worn out, that kind of thing, feeling jet lag, whatever. But I was looking for the emotional and the spiritual feelings. So one night, I'm looking through this and I see this entry. I feel like I'm on a mountaintop with God. I feel so close to the Lord. I mean, intimate, but one of those experiences where you could just reach out and touch Him, if you know what I mean. Just wonderful Jesus. It's an amazing experience with God. It's like, I remember that. And then I see, another entry, feel like I'm falling in a black hole. And it's not common for me, you know. Feel just hopeless. Feel absolutely down, hopeless. Feel there's no way out. And I thought, yeah, I remember that. Do you know the mountaintop was one night and the black hole was the next morning? You know that nothing had actually changed from night to morning except I went to sleep and woke up? No circumstance. Nothing had changed. Oh, Jesus. Feelings can be fickle. Write it down. What has God spoken to you? You got to go back to it. You've got to look at it. You've got to remind yourself, because I'm telling you, otherwise you'll lose it. Or you know what you'll do? You'll bring it down to the level of where you are. You'll rationalize it to the level of where you are and say, this plus God's blessing I could see. There are some things the Lord has spoken to me that have been so intense and so impossible that after He's spoken them to me, and I felt stirred, write it down, journal it. And I have different sections in the journal if there's something I really feel is a word from the Lord, which is rare that it'll get in that category, that I really feel the Lord is speaking a word to me in a serious level. And I'll write it, and I'll try to write it the way I received it, bold, caps. In other words, this was intense with everything in me. And I've looked at it and thought, you are out of your mind. You are crazy to think this. You are crazy to believe this. And then I've just gone and searched back a year or two earlier, almost verbatim. 2 years before that, almost verbatim. 1 year before that, almost verbatim. And I concluded, either God is speaking to me or I have lost my mind. For those who do not particularly appreciate me, they would say it's the latter. Look, as surely as God spoke to me and I wrote it and I shared it, that I would be in the midst of a revival that would touch the world, and it's happened, and I'm sure there's more to it still, but it happened. And as surely as he spoke to me about raising up a school that would send out thousands of radicals to the nations, and we've seen the first fruits of that at the least. For years, years. I'm talking about when I just say, Lord, I just want to worship you. I don't want to think about ministry. I don't want to think about calling, because I can always be so driven with write this article or preach this message or do this radio broadcast or do this or do that. So the moment I pray, I start getting stirred with a million things to do. I said, Lord, I just want to worship you. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to adore you and thank you. When I get into that place of real intimacy, oh, the fire burns again. And God starts speaking, I'm calling you to do this. I'm calling you to do this. Over and over and over for years, there's going to be a moral and cultural revolution in America. There's going to be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution in America, and I'm going to be in the thick of it. As sure as I'm standing here, it's going to happen. And every day in society, it looks more impossible and more ridiculous. And I was sharing this with a leading pastor, board member last year. I said, man, I just can't shake it. Every time I pray and get with God, the fire burns. He speaks the same thing to me. I can't shake it. He said, Mike, don't shake it. Run with it. I found journal entries over 15 years ago that God was calling me to be on national talk radio. I didn't lift a finger to make it happen. There are things he's put in my heart that I'm supposed to be speaking things, and like in conservative political sites, speaking words, kingdom words into that. I didn't lift a finger to try to make these things happen. But every time I write one of these articles on these news sites that are now open to me, and every day that I get on the radio and speak nationally, I'm reminded God promised me a moral and cultural revolution in Jesus' name. Oh, I take seriously every broadcast. I take seriously every article I do. Each thing has its importance. But to me, it's just a token that God's going to do the rest. Write it down. It'll be challenged. And along the way, you will question yourself. Each of the major things, I'm thinking two or three of the biggest things that God's spoken to me over the years. Before they began to happen, I concluded that I was disqualified. Or I concluded that the time was past. Or I concluded that I heard in an exaggerated way. And each time I said to myself, next time I won't let that happen again. But then life goes on. Yeah, God did speak that. But where's your prayer life been the last 6 months? Oh yeah, God did speak that. But you had all these opportunities you didn't walk through before. Oh yeah, God spoke that, but you added a little of your own imagination to it. It'll be promise, down payment, beginning to unfold. Looks like it's going to happen, and then long valley. Then these unexpected years intervening. These other things happening, and kind of think, well, maybe the promise will be fulfilled through my great, great, great grandchildren. And then the Lord starts to remind you, I never changed it. I never looked for you to be perfect. I understand who I made a promise to. Now go for it. He said to Timothy, by means of the prophecies spoken, fight the good fight. We've got to contend for these things. What vision did God give you for your marriage? Now the whole thing's fallen apart, but did he speak something to you? Who says it's over? I'm not talking about someone that's buried in the ground 20 years ago that you're supposed to go to the cemetery and try to raise them. I'm talking about situations where there remains a possibility of change coming. Yeah, maybe you had a season of backsliding. Maybe you blew it. Maybe you've been through the discipline of the Lord, which is for life, not death. Maybe you have set things back some years. Those things can happen. I'm sure God can only trust me with certain things at this point of my life. after walking with him 40 years and being 56 years old, but I'm quite sure if I had walked with him more diligently and in greater humility and devotion, I could have learned some of these things earlier. But here we are, and the future is bright. Here we are, and there's no reason why we can't dream big dreams, whether we're 15 or whether we're 95. We've got to contend for these things and wrestle in prayer. So many of the prophetic prayers and the prayers in the Psalms, how long, O Lord? We're working together with him. We're helping birth something. Paul said in Galatians 4:19 that he was in the pains of childbirth for the Galatians again, because they had backslidden from the truth and he was feeling the pain of birthing them into life again. I believe some of us have gotten comfortable with where we are. Just to put it in simple numerical terms, God promised us 10, but 3 is pretty good. And we found a certain comfort zone. Or maybe things are going well in our family. Or maybe we're experiencing the Lord's blessing when we pray. Maybe we've seen some growth in the things we're doing. Wonderful. Praise God for all of it. But is that it? Is that the extent of what he spoke? Is that the extent of what he promised? And remember, if he promised us 10, we're going to have to get there. Being at 3 is important. Being at 4 is important. Being at 5 is important. I'm just using a numerical illustration to get the point across. Every day is important. It's not just the destiny. It's every day of obedience up to that point. That's all part of it. The whole race is part of it. The whole journey is part of it. Write it down. You've got to contend for it. The Lord sent me to speak this to some here who have lost hope that the things God spoke will ever come to pass. He sent me to speak this to others who have settled for second best. He sent me to others to stir your faith because you haven't really heard much from God and you just kind of coast along, and he wants you to know there's more that he has. Nobody is just somebody that is a throwaway to God. Society may look at you like that. Even your closest friends may not recognize who you are, but God knows you. The world may hate you and despise you and never know your name, but there's a divine purpose. The prophets would do this. They'd take the words of God, but you promised. When our daughters were little, it's fun watching grandkids grow and remembering when your kids were that age. I remember one day with our daughters living in Maryland. And I said, hey, I said, why don't we go out and get some ice cream tomorrow after dinner? Suggestion, let's go get some ice cream tomorrow. The answer is fine with it. Okay, great, we're going to do it. Well, next day came around and my schedule got a little different than I was expecting, and my window of opportunity was smaller. And I said, hey, girls, why don't we go out tomorrow instead? Because I have a lot more time, because it'd be a little rush today. And instantly, with those instantly manufactured crocodile tears that little girls have, or some of your wives still may have. But, Daddy, you promised. Tears pouring down, and you promised. I always say the feeling I had was as if the day before I had slit my wrist and taken my finger in blood and said, I promise, written it out, ice cream tomorrow, by life or by death, I promise, my word. All I had said was, hey, let's get ice cream. It was a casual little thought. You promised. Tears pouring down their cheeks. I remember thinking to myself, right, if they can't trust Daddy, they won't be able to trust God. So we're getting ice cream. Plus, I don't mind ice cream. Some days later, I was sitting in my desk at home, and they came over. They said, hey, Dad, can we get McDonald's today? And I said, maybe. Carefully spelling every word, articulating every syllable, every letter, maybe. And the two of them stood there and said, he said maybe. He didn't say definitely, he said maybe. When he said maybe, it means probably. Because we're going to go to McDonald's. I'm like, oh, I can't win with that. But I can't tell you how many times those words have come back to me that I feel God telling me to pray like that. But you promised. You promised. We're not seeing it. Listen, I want to say this again. When we don't write the thing down and take hold of it, we rationalize it. We lower it. Or of course, we could exaggerate it beyond everything God said, but most of us have the tendency to just kind of make it where we are. You know, God called us, say, at Fire. Let's just say he called us to fill the Charlotte Motor Speedway with people for a special rally. That's how many souls he's going to give us. Let's just say he spoke that to us. And as the years go by, it becomes, yeah, we had this racetrack over here. We're going to have a rally in the parking lot one day. The thing gets lowered down. Go back to things he's spoken to you. Pull out the old journals, the old notes. If you don't have them, do your best to remember these things. Write them down today. We're coming to the end of the year. We're coming to a time when people often look at their lives and people ask how they're living and they make commitments for the new year or whatever it is. That's why I feel this is timely to bring this today. Write it down, and by means of the prophetic word, fight the good fight. What's the calling, man? What's God really spoken? Don't be afraid to dream it. It's not about, look, it's got nothing to do with you or me. It has nothing to do with our greatness. It has to do with God's greatness. The more you realize your inability, the more you can glorify God. You think I have an ounce of trust in me to see any of these things happen that God's spoken? My trust is in him. One of the glorious things that happen, the more times, more years you serve the Lord, is you realize outside of him, you're utterly bankrupt. But when you put your trust in him, you can put big trust, because he's a big God. And I've seen things happen over the years, which if you could have told me in advance and I proclaimed them publicly, it would have sounded completely outlandish. The ministry we worked here with Yesupala when I first met him, and this Indian guy, no money. First time he saw an ATM machine in America, he was stunned. He thought a man, little man, was inside of it. Untouchable. Grew up in a little hut. Mother, father, five kids. Little hut. You see all the Lord has done through him these years. And you just get a tiny glimpse of it from the video we watched earlier. And the different places around the world where God has established the ministry God's given him to do. And how at a recent meeting to India, he was one of the chosen speakers to speak to over 1 million people. Well over a million. Why not believe God? And why not on a regular basis order your life in such a way so as to be worthy of the calling? And so that the things he's spoken can unfold. I'm almost done, but let me just remind you, complacent prayer is going to get complacent results. And you may say, well, that's my personality. God's saying, stir yourself. Rise above it. To the weak, he says, be strong. Strong in the Lord. There's a place where you say, God, I'm unable to attain to this, but I'm trusting your grace to enable. And then whatever you have, whatever grace, whatever help, walk in it. Walk in the grace you have. Take a step in the right direction, and you begin to get holy momentum. If you're one of his, you have not disqualified yourself. You may have lost some years. You may go through spiritual discipline. But if you belong to Jesus, you have not disqualified yourself. And he can do something greater as we yield ourselves to him. In fact, some of us have learned the most through mistakes we've made, or wrong turns we took, to the point that we could never do what he called us to do without doing the things we wish we hadn't done. He's a redeemer. Fight the good fight. It is a battle. But God is faithful, and he will bring to pass what he has spoken. Write it down. Dust off the old books. Pull out those prophetic words. If they were true and real, hold on to them. If you say, Lord, I just feel aimless. I don't feel like you've ever spoken anything to me. Then pursue him aggressively, because you got one life to live, one opportunity to repay the debt of gratitude. Let's stand to our feet together. Stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. There are giving baskets in the back, everyone that's able. Let's sow into our community here. Think of how life-giving it's going to be to those in need. We've all been there one time or another. If this message was specifically for you, if you feel the Lord speaking to you through this message, and you know this is a word for you today, I'm going to ask you to come up, and we're just going to pray and cry out to God together. And then take this with you. Hold on to it. I'm telling you again, to the extent you've been called, to that extent, you'll be tested. Write it down. Take hold of it. Let's pray some things through together in Jesus' name. If that's for you, come on up. And we're just going to cry out together. We're not going to lay hands on you. We're going to ask God. We're going to cry out together. Thank you, Lord. Begin to lift your voices and go after him. Come on. Stir your hearts. You promised. You promised. This is for you. Come on up. Let's cry out to God together. Let's do some aggressive praying, all right? Come on. Jesus, fulfill your word. Fulfill your promise. Father, 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 the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. Boy, some of you have just let your birthright be stolen. Some of you just believe lies and you don't even want to step out because of it. Step out. Step out. We're not going to listen to lies in Jesus' name. Breakthroughs are here. Breakthroughs are at hand. Breakthroughs are at hand. Turning point for some of you. These very days, go after him. Come on. Father. Father. I believe God. I believe God. God, you're not a liar. You're not a tease. You don't exaggerate. Oh, God, you promised. You promised. I don't want to die and find out what could have been, what should have been. Oh, God. I want to live and die without regret. Oh, God. Come on, take hold of him. Take hold of him. It's all right to pray aggressively. Oh, let the cry of your heart go up to God. Lord, there's got to be more. Lord, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. Lord, where I've fallen short, forgive me. Where I've gotten off the path, forgive me. Where I've compromised, forgive me, Lord. I'm your son, I'm your daughter, I'm your servant. Father, great God, you promised. You promised, Lord.